Greetings to listeners all around the world. Welcome to Safe Dividend Investing's podcast number 136 on October 5th of 2023. My name is Ian Duncan MacDonald. In today's podcast, I'll be answering two interesting investment questions. The objective of my books, my website, and my podcasts are to show all those seeking financial independence how to become informed, confident, successful, self-directed investors. Question number one. Do you think investing in the stock market is difficult and risky? The stock market can be difficult and risky, and it can be easy and risk-free. All the tools that you need to make it easy and risk-free exist, but if you're not aware of them and how to use them, it would be like taking someone you had never driven a car and putting them in the car on an expressway and telling them to drive. Once you acquire the experience, you instinctively know what to do to self-manage your stock portfolio. The only problem is that you are not encouraged to take the little time it requires to learn how to invest safely. Investing and money management is not taught in high school, but it should be. The competing relationship between money coming in and money going out is generally ignored until you encounter a serious financial challenge. My challenge arose when I was in my mid-50s, and I became aware that the large nest egg that I had invested with a financial advisor had lost half of its value. This portfolio was supposed to provide me with a long, comfortable retirement. Being new to investing, I now feared that it might possibly shrink to zero. I had considered the financial advisor to be a friend. He was the president of an investment company with many employees. With decades of experience, he had far more experience with investing than anyone else I knew. When I had turned over the large sum of money to him, it had taken him less than 15 minutes to invest that money in mutual funds. I was told it would grow mightily and provide me with a safe, reliable retirement income for the rest of my life. All I would have to do was sell off 4% of the mutual fund every year to live on. I did not know enough to ask him how much his services are going to cost, but he volunteered that it would cost me so little they would not even notice it. Since I was fully employed as an executive in a large multinational corporation at that time, I did not take investing seriously and ignored my portfolio. The old out of sight, out of mind. 3 years later, as my retirement was rapidly approaching, I became aware that my portfolio had shrunk by several $100,000. My retirement was looking very bleak. I now had serious financial challenges. The time had come to get serious about investing. My friend, the investment advisor, was not happy when my bank transferred all my money into a self-directed investment account. The flawed mutual funds were immediately sold. I now had hundreds of thousands of dollars that must be invested with great care to secure my financial future. I read and studied all the available literature on investing that I could find. Most of it was written by professionals who used terms and strategies that were difficult for a novice to understand. However, what I became aware of was that the same commercial risk factors I had addressed daily in my career seemed to be also present in investing. For almost 40 years, I'd been immersed in the world of commercial credit risk. I was employed as a senior executive with the major risk information companies, Dun & Bradstreet, Creditel, and Equifax. While employed, I was tasked with creating risk scoring systems that warned banks, insurance companies, manufacturers, and wholesalers of the potential problems they could encounter when selling to a company. The commercial risk warning systems were difficult to construct because financial information was rarely available. Private companies do not share their financial information with others for strategic and competitive reasons. I was forced to gather information that only indicated the strength or weakness of a company. Data such as how quickly a company was able to pay suppliers, the presence or absence of negative information like collection claims, legal writs, and judgments. What I had learned in building a risk database of 2,200,000 businesses was that some companies never had problems. Others had problems year after year. Problems which often caused them to fail within 5 years of their inception. The companies reflected the management skills and character of their executives. Accepting that current financial information existed on every public company being traded on every stock exchange was like a blind man being given the gift of sight. Historical records of every public company's behavior went back for decades. The information was not only easily available, but free to any investor who wished to use it in evaluating the strength of a potential stock purchase. If the purpose of a company is to make a profit, and if all public companies had to frequently report how profitable their operations were, then all I had to do was identify stocks that were safe to invest in, was to consult the financial reports that public companies had to file every 90 days. A company's financial strength, corporate habits, and skills or lack of them would be on display. The other obvious factor I noticed was that dividends were paid out of profits. This meant the quickest way to identify strong companies was to invest only in those companies that paid dividends. Since inflation over the last 100 years averaged 3.5%, if I invested in stocks paying dividends greater than 5%, my income would stay well ahead of inflation, and I would be able to invest my dividend income back into my portfolio to make it grow faster than its normal share price growth. This was my strategy. I have since learned that others have also come to the same conclusion, but I rarely came across this strategy and my search for the path I would take to achieving financial independence. It certainly was never suggested by financial analysts who focus on peddling mutual funds, which is where most of their income comes from. With the injection of dividend income, my portfolio grew rapidly. Within a few years, I had more than recovered all that had been lost in mutual funds. My dividend income grew along with the growth in the portfolio. At 60 years of age, my retirement was safe and secure. I had wondered why professional financial advisors did not recommend a strategy of high dividend investing. However, I soon saw from my own success that an investor with a diversified mix of financially strong companies paying high dividends rarely makes changes in their portfolio. It would be hard for a financial advisor to justify their fees, charges, and commissions for doing nothing. Even during market crashes and recessions, the dividends of the companies in my portfolio are paid. After all, it is the crash of the share prices, not the profits, that causes the share prices to decline in the marketplace. Since dividends are paid from profits, not share prices, there is minimal impact, if any, in a market crash. Dividend investors can relax and live off their dividends as they wait for share prices to recover. Financially strong company share prices do recover in time, and this can be easily proven by looking at the easily available historical records of share prices and dividend payouts. Professional financial advisors love selling their mutual funds because there is a mystery to them that clouds the judgment of investors. The advisors know that investors do not take the time to study the prospectuses issued by mutual fund companies. This means the investors have little understanding as to what the fund is invested in and what the fund can and will do with their money once they have it in their grasp. In the mutual fund prospectus, the lawyers who wrote them are quick to point out that there are no guarantees as to whether the investor will make money from the fund or not. You will always find a statement that past fund performance has nothing to do with future performance. The mutual fund investor is immediately at a disadvantage in building a portfolio. The investment advisor who sells the fund, the advisor's employer, and the mutual fund management company must each take a bite out of your portfolio to generate income for themselves. They take this money not just when the mutual fund is initially sold, but every year that the fund is managed by them. This bite can usually be between 2% and 4% of the fund's value each year, whether the portfolio's value increases or decreases. Any complaints about the mutual fund's shrinking value is usually handled with a shrug and a comment about that is how it is in the stock market. However, self-directed investors want to know exactly what they are invested in and why they are invested in it. They are keen to quickly identify the strengths and weaknesses of a company and determine if a lower share price is just temporary trading between optimistic and pessimistic speculators. If all the signs of financial strength are present, they dismiss the gyration of share prices. Years can go by without you ever having to replace a stock in your self-directed portfolio because well-managed and strong companies perform consistently for long periods of time. This makes stock investing easy, surprisingly safe, and rewarding. For a deeper insight, obtain one of my easily read investment books, written without the jargon and froth normally used in the investment industry. Question number two. If I have saved enough money before retirement, will I be able to live happily without working after retirement? I've been retired for 19 years, and my net worth is far greater than when I retired. My income keeps growing steadily, thanks to the fact that I invest in financially strong companies with long histories of rising share prices and rising high dividend payouts. Where your question runs into some problems is determining what you mean by enough money saved, what you consider to be work, and to be what happiness means to you. If you go to my website, www.informus.ca, you will see that I am busy writing books, marketing those books, doing a weekly podcast about investing, and marketing my art. I enjoy doing what I do, but others may not find happiness in what many might consider to be work. I like the total freedom of choosing every day what I want to do or not do. I especially enjoy the freedom to be able to travel for months in a year, if I so choose to. I believe having your mind actively engaged in something meaningful every day keeps you healthy and happy. What happens to the money I earn from my so-called work? I do not need it to live on, so I invest it, and my net worth grows even more. My initial savings gave me financial independence when I retired at 60. My financial strength has only grown since then. Prior to retiring, I had been warned by investment advisors to only liquidate 4% of my mutual funds every year to cover my living expenses. If I did so, my savings would slowly shrink and be totally eaten up by the time I reached 90. They were rather vague about what happens after 90. They also warned me that 40% of my investments must always be in non-growth, weak investments like bonds. What nonsense. Perhaps they had never heard of inflation. The growth in my income and assets as a self-directed investor is proof to me of how little financial advisors understand about careful money management and retirement. The 2% to 4% of their portfolio that the typical investor pays out of their portfolio every year to a full-service investment advisor is a liability, not an asset to happiness in their retirement. This isn't another question. It is an offer. When I release my latest book, Canadian High Dividend Investing, this August, I ordered a few initial copies. Since then, I've changed the cover and made a few minor changes in the book. If anyone wishes a free copy of these initial editions and can arrange to pick up the book in Toronto, send me an email at ianduncanmcdonald@hotmail.com. I will set aside one of these books for you. This will be on a first-come basis. It is a very helpful reference book, providing scoring, analysis, and historical records of all 215 stocks traded on the Toronto Stock Exchange, paying a dividend yield of 3.5% or more. I use it almost every day. Thanks for listening. If you wish more information on investing and stock scoring, please visit my website, www.saferbetterdividendinvesting.com.